living in Australia can feel a bit like living in a furnace right now, but there is no act of God. The whole human race has contributed to the changing climate, and right now the fiery situation we're in was certainly worsening with the as we hit peak summer. Now the government has been calling for unity among people and also believes the solution is global action. Now the world last week had its fair share of tumultuous incidents, and we have Dr. Nicholas Bromfield, our lecturer with the Department of Government and International Relations at the University of Sydney, to talk to us about what is the impact of these key events on Australia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, it's been observed that leaders across the world are putting out statements about, when it comes to deal with climate change, about taking global action. How is this action being implemented in a way that would globally that would allow for accountability? Because there's just so many different regional interests.
No, that's a really good question. So there's accountability in the global system is a difficult thing to achieve because, as we all know, there isn't a sort of global government as such. So accountability in a democratic system like Australia's at a domestic level, of course, occurs through things like elections and various kind of external agencies which monitor and can potentially press charges and enforce, compliance. And this is difficult to achieve in the international arena, of course, because we lack those kind of enforcement mechanisms. So what we have to fall back on instead is a system of enforcing norms and expectations. And this, work has begun quite significantly regarding climate change. Climate change has progressed quite significantly over recent decades. It progressed, and I think this is something positive we can take away from change at the moment, is that we recognise that this is an issue. It's been put on the agenda. We've got this influencing the rhetoric and discourses of states and international organisations. We can see it being incorporated into international organisations and their planning and their organising and these kind of things. And we can see it beginning to have an impact as well upon the domestic policies of nation states. And it does have sort of an impact on state behaviour. But I suppose in the Australian case, there's a criticism that we haven't done enough and that there's, problems there that Australia still faces.
So is this a, is this a problem about sort of when you have these sort of global negotiations now? Mm-hmm. Australia at the moment is trying to use a loophole using sort of carryover carbon credits that in some situations where you have this global thing, there's a sort of a temptation to be the free rider and that you try and to sort of garner the best deal for your nation. But then you sort of are neglecting sort of the global things of anything outside your sort of individual local constituency?
Yep. Yeah, and this is sort of a classic problem that we face. And the carryover credits, I think, is a really... and what the international sphere can do and what they are doing is essentially shaming Australia. I think it's increasingly recognised, especially from players like the EU, South Pacific nations in our own region, that Australia is being a laggard and it's not doing its fair share. And you're exactly right in that respect, that they're free riding. We're attempting to profit from fossil fuels and use that to for the basis of the Australian economy. And I think that there's increasing pressure from larger actors like the EU, but also from these kind of smaller actors, sort of a kind of a moral kind of pressure in some ways. And I think Australia's becoming somewhat of a pariah, an outsider on these kind of issues. What we're trying to do is being rejected by other states. And that's something that Australia's going to need to face up to, because that's going to be a cost to Australia's international reputation, to its ability to, influence the world stage and get what it wants. So in that respect, it's quite a limiting strategy. It's sort of a very short-term one, and I really don't see it... I could be wrong, certainly, but I really don't see it being a successful one, and I don't see Australia being successful in being able to get these carryover credits incorporated into the Paris Agreement.
So when we talk about norms, we talk about like the idea of a sort of international liberal order, that things like sort of nuclear proliferation or human rights, that when countries have, you know, gone down this, there will be that the international order has chosen that eventually there will be sanctions, or some degree to try and encourage governments to alter their behaviour. Would that be a reasonable analogy and so comparative?
No, I think it's a really good one. I'm not sure if Australia is going to face those kind of, sanctions, but it's certainly something that can be potentially on the table. And this is where global civil society can come into play. You know, we can sort of, activists, transnational advocacy networks, NGOs, all these kind of, organisations and individuals can put pressure on Australia and pressure on other nations to, reject Australia's climate, or inaction on climate. And these are the kind of things that can potentially occur. And the other thing that's going to occur to Australia, and this is going to be increasingly an issue, is that the business and the corporate sector is going to increasingly recognise the risks that are associated with climate and fossil fuel. You only need to think about pension and super funds and the absolutely massive, massive amounts of money that are in floating around the international financial system for investment. These super funds are investing over periods of decades, and they're increasingly recognising the risks associated with these kinds of investments. So they're divesting from them, and that's also been led by their members. This is something that potentially you could do for your listeners if they're concerned. You can ring up your super fund and you can say, well, are you investing in fossil fuels and these kind of polluting carbon emissions? And if you are, I would like to be swapped out of that into a cleaner plan, or you can potentially shop around for your super fund if you're not satisfied with their response. So these are the kind of things that you potentially, do as a citizen, as an individual.
So would you say that there's a possibility that these fires, and we were certainly seeing the bushfires, it could be a sort of a political tipping point for the political class, in that that may well be now a much greater awareness of how of the human costs. I mean, we've sort of talked maybe a lot on the sort of economic issues, but also the sort of human costs of inaction, where we're seeing it in the fires, and I mean, you can even see it in some of the sort of global things happening in the Amazon. I mean, it's...
Yeah, definitely. No, so this is very true. So I mean, when you think about especially the global agenda, there's only so much that can sort of fit on an agenda and hold people's attention. And these are sort of really big events that can sort of capture the imagination, or are often in kind of a horrifying kind of way. Natural disasters or wars or famines, you know, these kind of things. I mean, Australia is facing one of those moments at the moment. The world is watching. And this is a news issue, especially in the Anglosphere and the English-speaking world, but, you know, more broadly than that as well. People are the world is looking at Australia because they're recognising that, that in much the same way as the Amazon fires, you know, the Amazon is kind of a real kind of icon. Everyone's aware of what the Amazon is and what it represents. And in a similar way, the destruction of the bush in Australia was tied to so many representations of Australianness. Think about the, outcry about the deaths of koalas, for instance. You know, it's such an Australian icon in that kind of respect, and does sort of capture that kind of attention and really puts it on the agenda.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Nicholas Bromfield, our lecturer with the Department of Government and International Relations at the University of Sydney. Now he's talking to us about the nuances of international relations and the path to global action to combat climate change.